We are a podcast. This is our podcast. Listen to this podcast. This is the podcast. No other podcast. Only one podcast. This is the podcast. Sometimes I hate you. We are a podcast. This is our podcast. Listen to this podcast. This is the podcast. No other podcast. Only one podcast. This is the podcast. Sometimes I hate you.
What's up, bitches? Welcome back to Sometimes I Hate You, your favorite comedy variety podcast brought to you by me, Victor, and bitch-ass Andy.
Hey, are you hosting? Did you bring notes to this
show? I didn't bring fucking shit. I'm going to hand the fucking keys to the Rolls Royce over to you, and you're going to continue driving this car.
That's fine. So, last couple of weeks, last couple of episodes, we haven't asked what you've been doing, but you've divulged to us what you've been doing. So instead of me starting, which I've been doing, what have you been up to? Because I know it's been horrible lately.
Oh, man. Let me see. I have been dealing with retail hell again because it's like middle of November, and anyone that's worked retail knows that this is the worst time of the year to exist. So there's that.
Is it like still as bad as, because like, I will never forget when we worked together, and I remember the second, not the first holiday season, but the second holiday season, you and I were good friends at the time, and you were like, I just get really bad anxiety when this time of year comes around, and then you started dry heaving in the back room. Do you still do that?
No, have I don't you gotten do that. Past that? I don't know why lately I've been dry heaving again, like in the mornings, but I think it's more due to just like life's adjustments with everything going on, because
like getting born that. Again or you be honest, because that's the show.
I mean, anxiety has definitely been coming back again, but not anywhere near as bad as it was like 9 years ago, like in comparison. The season sucks, but it's not as bad this year at work, at least. Yeah. But like, dude, Black Friday pardon me, Black Friday at the end of like the last 15 minutes was the worst. Like it culminated to making me feel like this was the worst Black Friday of all the Black Fridays I've ever worked, and it just took the last 15 minutes of the day.
How is that possible?
So we stayed open till 10, so right there,
because you've been doing this shit for
exactly nine years. Yeah. And it just literally, like, this one made me want to quit, bro.
Fuck me. Holy shit.
Yeah, so the last 15 minutes rolls around. The day's been chill, like, pretty much for what it is. Compared to the shit we've seen before, it's fucking calm. So I was like, all right, Today's going to be a solid day. Last 15 minutes rolls around, like, 30 people swarm the fucking store coming out of their fucking hood ass, wherever they crawled out of, like roaches. And they just come in asking, what's up?
Is the last 15 minutes also, because like your normal close, you normally close at like 9 p.m., right? Yeah. So is the last 15 minutes at 9 p.m. or is it 11:30?
It's 9:45 p.m. So I'm done. Yeah. I want to go home. I don't want to deal with any more people because I've seen more than enough people today as is. And then a swarm of 30 people come in. I get shady ass people coming in looking like they're going to steal shit, but I can't do anything because like everyone just swarms out of nowhere. I have ghetto people arguing about where the line's at and bitching in the line. And then just people not knowing what to make up their minds with. And just like a fuck ton of shit fell apart so quick, so fast that I was just like, I just want to go home and not deal with this anymore. Like, dude, by the time I closed the door, I just wanted to toss the computers all over the place and just leave my keys on the counter and walk out because I was just that done.
Fuck it.
Yeah. So there was that. And then besides that, my fiance's got a new job. So like our time sync is just all fucked up now. Like She works Monday through Friday now. And mind you, she just started last week. So it's still trying to get used to this process. And then I'm Thursday through Sunday. So it just doesn't really work like as a, we get a whole day together. So we're trying to find time there. Thanksgiving came around. We went to her family's house, and that was like, so it was supposed to be at like 4, but we didn't end up leaving the house till like six. And then before you know it, like the whole day is like gone afterwards because we didn't leave until like after 12 o'clock. And I was like, oh man, I wasn't even planning on staying here longer than like 2 hours. I got ran through the ringer there. So there's that. I mean, it wasn't like a bad thing. It's just like I got vetted by the family because I'm literally going to be marrying their daughter.
I was going to say, is it always like, well, you're now part of the family. So these are the things you have to deal with. Like, so to condense this, growing up, boys always talk about their fighting skills because they tell you stories and they always talk about their fighting skills. It is something that has bothered the shit out of me since I was a kid.
It's like such a machismo ass thing.
It's a weird thing. And when I was growing up and I would date, especially because you're dating a Spanish woman, when I dated Spanish women, when I would be introduced to the family, it would be basically push-up contests all the goddamn time. Is that what you experienced, or did you? Was it better than that?
It was better than that. It was more of like, just like the take care of her, don't fucking disrespect the family, and like.
But 30 times, like you heard this. Yeah, it
was
the times.
Same thing. And then there's like one specific uncle that was just like, I don't like people. I hate new people and all that. And he's just like, blah, blah, blah.
We could always inbreed. There's that as an option. Yeah. Never knew, always the same.
But it was more of him just kind of dicking around to try and weed me out if I was too like weak for it. But obviously I'm a fucking chuckle fuck, so I'm just giggling.
And
the
an
whole
adult
time.
Man. Yeah. Like, you're not a 14-year-old boyfriend showing up. You're a 31-year-old man.
Yeah, exactly. So at this point I was just like, he's just giving me the shit just to give me the shit. So at the end he like shook my hand and like welcomed me to the family and everything. So it was fine. But yeah, like there was just a lot going on that day because like a fucking cousin was having a birthday at the same time. That cousin also simultaneously toasted.
Wait, did you guys sing happy birthday at Thanksgiving?
Yes, it was so weird. I was like, what is going on?
I feel like these should be separate.
Yeah, but no, they happened at the same time. And then they toasted her engagement. Everyone was just asking me questions. I got hit on by a couple of her aunts, which was strange. Like, it was just so weird. So weird. But yeah, we leave at 12. So then I'm like, cool, that was one of my days off. Because you asked me actually on Wednesday, you're like, yo, what are you guys doing? Because you wanted to hang out.
Yeah.
And I was like, I would, but we had to go to work because I'm off Thursday and all this shit. And we have to set up for fucking shithole day fucking Friday.
So she's been working retail with you?
Yeah.
Throughout all of this garbage?
Still working. Oh, man. Yeah. So we both had to work that day. Then Thanksgiving. So then she's working Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, basically worked at the Gestapo also on Wednesday, then has Thursday, goes to see her family for the morning, and then I pick her up because we're going to my brother's to just spend time together. And then afterwards, we go to the family, get out at like 12. So the whole day is pretty much gone there. And then it comes into Black Friday rolling around. So then she works with us also.
This is just a hell week, dude.
Yeah, dude. So she works with us also because she's off from her other job that day. And then that's fine. We split our ways afterwards. Saturday rolls around. I go to work. She's at home. And her family's still down. So she's dealing with all that. And then Sunday rolls around. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm taking the day off. So I literally was just like, you guys don't need me. I was like, this is my 9th year doing this. I'm going to take a day off.
Yeah, that's G. Because like, I remember. So your boss, who I assume is still your boss, he wouldn't even turn like down that kind of thing. He always worked that. All of that,
yeah,
that period. And so I was always stuck working, you know, the holiday weekend. I know you were, so that, yeah, that's fucking good on you. I'm happy.
Yeah, I was just like,
I was gonna ask you if you had like a blackout period where you're not allowed to take time off or whatever.
I mean, technically I had a blackout, but I was just like, yo, I gotta go help my brother with something.
I'm
bro.
Sick.
Like, I don't know what you guys want me to do. So I was just like, fuck that. I don't want to be there on Sunday. I'm like just done with this weekend. So there's that. And then yeah, just doing projects around the house because I'm like literally alone during the day on my day days off right now. So I've been like refurbing the room that I'm currently recording in, and then just doing stuff around the house that I've been meaning to catch
up. Dude, that's crazy. Like, cause like I almost have no like solo time.
Yeah.
Basically, that's the best way to describe it. Cause like my schedule is pretty similar to yours. I get 1 day a week with my whole family, with my wife and my son. And then the rest of the week, I'm either picking up my son from daycare, and then that's right after work, or I'm looking after him. Luckily, she works from home now on Sundays, so I do get to see her on her like 10-minute bathroom breaks and stuff. But for the rest of the time, she's just locked up in the bedroom. So I will say, you're actually having a pretty similar experience, a weirdly similar experience to what I've been going through for the last 2 years. So it's actually it's kind of like funny to see that happen. But you don't even have a kid. So
yeah,
like,
dude,
are you guys, what happens when you guys have a kid? Are you guys planning on having kids?
I mean, down the line, like that's going to be like an after marriage thing for sure. I just, that's like a hard role for me, as like I hate that stigma of everyone's like, oh, they got married because they had a kid type of situation. I know that's not you. I don't like that like background murmur that people like having.
Nah, it's fine. We live in a new world where like, because I'm a bastard. All of my siblings are bastards. We were all born without marriage. And you're not a religious person. Like, fuck
it's,
it.
It's
who gives
not even
a shit
that.
What anybody
it's,
has to
it's
say?
It's just from what I've seen my family talk about as I've grown up. I just don't want that, like, background noise. And it's more of just a thing out of myself, too, where I'm just like, I want to also prove that this is the person I want to be with just because, like, we had a kid to me. And, you know, it feels a little different. So that's more or less,
so,
like,
so
after
does that.
That
mean- Does that mean we're a comedy variety podcast? So I'm going to ask you. So is it still condoms these days, or are you just practicing the most powerful pullout game anyone has ever practiced?
The most ambitious, wildest pullout game you've ever seen, man. It's fucking crazy.
I don't even know. Like, are you just stopping like 15 minutes before
years.
You're even close? Yeah, exactly. Like
over two years, bro. So my skills are unmatched.
No, that didn't even. God, that didn't even last like the year in my relationship. Like it was like a couple months.
Yeah,
a couple months. But like
that's how
my wife and it was like if I just was with you all of a sudden. I was like, this is just the most perfect relationship I've ever been in, and I don't want to go anywhere else. I'm totally fine here.
No, so, see, like, I respect that because that's how I feel. It's just like the kid part I'm not ready for. Like I just, between seeing both my brother and you recently too, I've just been like,
it's so much work.
I love both of your guys' kids to death. Like I will kill someone for them. Like straight up kill someone for them. I'm just not ready to deal with that yet. You know what I mean?
No, dude, honestly, it is like, if I not, there's zero regret on my side at all, and nothing wrong, like at all. Like we've done the best we could, and also we were older and in like a better state of mind. I know your brother was older and in a better state of mind. You will never be ready.
No matter what you think you're ready for, any of it, like it's never going to be a situation.
Dude,
I just want to be in a better spot in my life, I guess, to where like I'm just like, yeah, I can handle this.
I like, honestly, dude, what's I think the craziest thing is like, you will be tired, and this is more like the second person you. Anybody who listens to the show who hasn't had a kid yet but is interested in having a kid in the future, you will be tired like you've never been tired before. For like a year straight. Yeah, it's a really weird experience to explain, because like when my son was born, he had complications after he was born where he wasn't able to like we didn't trust that he wouldn't stop breathing late at night, because he the first day he was born, he started turning purple and he just didn't breathe for some reason at night.
Yeah, dude,
and
that was like a crazy time.
It was a lot. And I remember my wife and I, she just got out of the hospital, just had a C-section, just had a baby, and she's exhausted. She just wants to sleep, and the baby wants to sleep too. But babies don't sleep through the night. They need to be fed every hour or every like couple of hours. I think it's like every 4 hours, honestly. But I remember being like, all right, well, I guess we're going to have to take sleep shifts. And for the first 2 days being home, we slept opposite times from one another. And
so you just see each other in passing then.
Mm-hmm. And it was just to make sure that the baby was safe. And that was the most exhausting experience I've ever had in my life, because that was after the hospital. So then everything is just... I had to take care of my wife and I had to take care of my son.
Dude, yeah, I remember those days back where you're just like, you were a zombie just living off monsters. That's
yeah,
all.
Yeah,
it
no,
was.
It was.
You and had the and worst like, eye bags.
But I wouldn't like trade any of it ever, like for anything. It was all worth all of that. It's just what's crazy is that's the easy part. Like right yeah. now, I'm at a point in my life where, so we are literally moving. In the next 2 weeks, we have to work full time, take care of our son after daycare, and move our entire home to another home. At least the other home is only 20 minutes away, but we have to do it with basically no help, because the only other person capable or qualified of taking care of our son when we can't is my wife's sister, and she has two kids.
Oh.
So... there's that, and then none of us, literally none of us, have the same days off. So
oh God.
it's the craziest fucking Jenga thing. Like, we have to take this whole house apart, put it all in boxes, and we're not even, like, so far, we've moved a bunch of boxes, but we've done it in just my wife's car, and just brought them to the new house, and just dropped them off that way. No U-Haul or anything yet. We're gonna use that, we're gonna get a U-Haul for the big stuff, like the furniture and stuff.
The stuff that you still
right
need.
Now, yeah, but right now, basically, the way that it works is, she's gonna drop shit off at the house, like boxes, because she can carry, what is it, a dozen boxes at any given time?
Okay.
So she's gonna take a dozen boxes to drop off when she drops the baby off for school, and then I'm gonna drop some more boxes off that I bring to work with me, so I can carry like four in my tiny ass car. So I'm gonna drop those off and pick up the baby, come back home, go through the bedtime routine, put the baby to sleep, and then when she gets back from work, then we're gonna relay race back and forth. While one parent packs and takes care of the baby, the other parent's gonna be driving to the new house to drop stuff off.
Fuck, dude. Yeah, no, I'm good. I
dude,
mean, like, let
it's
alone,
fucking
I
have, crazy.
I have only had them deal with moving once in my life as is, and I was like a wee lad, like a super wee lad. I was like, I never envy the process of it, because I've seen it so many times. I'm just like, man, that shit sucks.
So, I've only had to move my shit one time ever, like me by myself, move all of my shit one time ever. And that was when I moved into the house that my wife lived in. Ever since she and I have been together,
yeah,
we have a lot of stuff. I mean, like we are what's that? I guess what we fill the space that we exist in.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that just makes it so much harder to move everything, because it's a lot of shit that just doesn't go in boxes.
It's
non-box
like,
items.
It's those times when you're just like, damn, I really wish I was like a minimalist liver. Like, where you just like, you see those people that are just like, oh my God, you see my coffee table in the corner with a plant? That's all I need.
When I moved out of my old apartment, it wasn't by myself, but I was able to grab my stepdad and my uncle, and all they did is help me carry the larger furniture into a U-Haul. I rented the U-Haul. I did one trip from the apartment to the storage facility, filled all of the stuff into the storage facility with just my stepdad as the only other helping hand.
Oh my God. And I've seen that storage facility, dude. Like,
yeah.
It was packed.
Yeah, I fucking made that work. Yeah, didn't you come with me to go get like Guitar Hero controllers shit?
We were looking for like recording equipment and some other random ass shit, and we made multiple trips there too. It was at least five times.
Yeah, I remember. I do remember. But yeah, like moving is a bitch. Moving is a real fucking bitch. But yeah, I guess that was my catching you up to speed, is that's the stresses of my life. So I get it. Like, it never ends. It just always keeps going. But it's how you kind of roll with it. Because, like, I definitely get in these, like, states of depression or whatever.
Oh yeah,
but I'm like, I got other things to do. Well, like, yeah, I got to exactly. take care of my kid, and I got to take care of my wife. Like, I got other shit to do.
Like, and the, so and the immortal words of Chucky P at the end of Fight Club is literally, "We are not the all-seeing stars in the sky, are the unbridled pieces of shit in the world. We just are." When I read that, that literally right there just changed my entire fucking life, dude. Like, I was just like, "Yeah, man, we're just here. Like, I, that's it. Yep. We just make do with what we got and just carry on."
It's all good.
It.
No, for me, it's always the let that which truly does not matter slide. That's my biggest thing is just, if it ain't no big deal, just fucking keep going. Dude,
yeah, so many people spend like so much time stressing the smallest shit, and it's like, don't worry about it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Just fuck it.
Yeah. No, I agree. Well, we're 30 minutes into the episode, so now it's time to pull out a fucking note at least. At least one note. So, welcome to the first ever Sometimes I Hate Video Games Game of the Year Awards, where only the games that are up for contenders are the games that Victor and I have played. So, Victor, we'll start with you.
Sup?
Can you pull out your list of video games? We're just going to go through them in no specific order. We're just going to go through them on your side. And if there's something you absolutely loved, or whatever your game of the year of the big game, whatever your game of the year is at the end of your list, just lay it on me. Let me know what you think about it.
So the games I have finished this year are Hogwarts Legacy, Jedi Survivor, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, Dredge, Dead Island 2, Far Cry 5, Cyberpunk 2077, Callisto Protocol, Terminator Resistance, Jedi Fallen Order, The Chant, and Lego Star Wars Skywalker Saga. Feel like there's some other ones in there somewhere, but I'm those are like the ones I remember like key.
Those are the ones you for sure beaten. I had to go on my Steam library and look at the games that I've played this calendar year and then go, okay, no, I definitely beat this. I definitely beat that.
I went through like my most recent games like achievements to kind of see what I had played and finished. So yeah, that was the same thing.
That's like one nice thing about being like a PC gamer is you can see them. Like, I know I played a game on Xbox. It was Hogwarts Legacy. Okay, that's what it was. I was like, I know I played the shit out of one specific game on Xbox, but I couldn't recall what it was. But there we go. We figured it out together.
Yes, sir.
But all right. So out of all of those, what was your absolute just favorite?
So for a while, it was Hogwarts Legacy, because that game came on strong when it came out, dude. Like, that's all I wanted to play during the time that it did release.
I don't even know how to explain the love I fell in with that game, because, like,
it captures you so hard and so fast and doesn't let go the entire ride.
So it caught me sideways, because, like, I watched my wife play it, and when she played through it, I kind of just side-eyed it and was like, stuff.
Yeah.
And then I think you did the same thing because your fiance played through it before you did. And she was talking about it, I remember. But once I finally sunk my teeth into that game, there was, like, I'm not kidding. I figured out ways to stream it on my phone and stream it on my fucking Steam Deck.
Just to scratch that itch.
So that way I could, like, always play it. Like, we were prepping the baby for bedtime, and I'd be playing that on my Steam Deck. Like, I constantly was trying to play that game as much as I possibly could. I remember I started the job that I'm working right now. I started it and was like, all right, well, let's see if I got good enough cellular to try to remote into my Xbox so I can play some more fucking Hogwarts Legacy.
I need this.
So please continue, sir.
So that was like my game of the year in the beginning of the year, because it came out, what, March or something like that? And I was just like,
fucking January.
Was it January? Okay, yeah.
January.
So I was just like, for me, that set the bar high already, because I was like, damn, dude, like, it's going to be hard to top this, because, like, fuck, this game ate like 2 weeks of my life without me wanting to play anything else.
I agree.
And then I went to Cyberpunk at some point, finished that, and I was like, all right, cool. That was fun as fuck. I did like everything I possibly could in that game. So there's that.
Are you playing the expansion?
I haven't started that yet, so I do need to go back and dabble.
It's on my Christmas list.
Same.
I told my wife it's on my Christmas list, but like the stupidest shit. Like, just quick, very quick aside. I own it on a storefront called GOG. weirdest fucking place for me to own a game because all my games are Steam games, but well, this one fucking game is on GOG.
Owns GOG though.
But that's not why I own it on GOG. Okay, do you want the actual story? The actual story is, I'll take you back to 2019. I'm literally working with a boss who's also very into PC gaming and very excited about buying Cyberpunk, but he's so fucking frugal, super frugal. And I just, I mean, I was like, I was not making very much money at the time. So I was like, all right, let me save some money. And he said, well, you know, you can just buy the game with a PayPal account from Brazil, and it's cheaper if you just buy a Brazilian copy of a PC game.
What the fuck?
So I did. I use a VPN on my fucking MacBook. I set my location in GOG storefront because Steam does not play around with that shit, but GOG does. And so Brazil. I went on GOG. I pretended to be in Brazil. I processed a fucking transaction with fucking PayPal. PayPal converted my US dollars into Brazilian pesos or whatever, and it used that to buy the game. I spent grand total day of fucking release. I bought Cyberpunk for $45.
Holy shit, dude. That's a good deal.
Except that PayPal was like, we have to do a conversion fee and we're going to charge you an additional $20.
Oh, great. So you ended up paying more anyway.
I paid more for a Brazilian copy of Cyberpunk 2077. So now I own the game on fucking GOG. And I told my wife, I want the expansion for Christmas. And she was like, okay, well, she checks Steam to see if games that I'm interested in are on sale. And she was like, the game's on sale, but you already have it on GOG, so like, how the hell am I supposed to buy this for you? And I was like, I don't know. They don't even have a gifting program. Just give me your debit card hilarious. On Christmas.
That's fine. I'll just buy it myself. Yep. Oh my God. So then like that happened. I felt the magic of that. So my two fucking top contenders are like, it's hard for me to decipher both of them. They're both fucking weird and unique in their own way. Well, one of them is pretty straightforward, but one's weird and unique in its own way. And I enjoyed both of them so much that I actually fucking 1000G'd both of these games.
I just love that you're building up the suspense. Yeah. This is great.
Cause I was like, I normally never do that. The normal basic one that we would consider in the world is fucking Jedi Survivor. That game fucking hooked me like so deep where I was just like, holy shit, I'm coming off fucking Fallen Order and I just want more. And then it grabbed me with all of the new mechanics and making you feel like a Jedi and like just the amount of like action that was in there and story. I fucking fell in love with it like hook, line and sinker.
Like I regularly heard that for that specific game, everybody was like, it feels like when we were kids and they made a sequel to something and it was so much different and better. But like when I watch gameplay and videos of it, I cannot perceive it.
Dude,
but when you talk about it like that, I'm like, oh my God, this sounds amazing. Because like that's the other game on my Christmas list, by the way.
When you play Fallen Order, it's clunky. It feels like old school Dark Souls. But then when you play like Survivor, it feels like Elden Ring, where it's like they've been at it enough time, they know what they're doing, they refine the mechanics. It's so fucking smooth, dude. You can pull off crazy shit and you're just like, this is badass. I feel like an actual Jedi, not some Padawan that's just like swinging a lightsaber around.
That's fucking
sick
dope.
Ass force powers. You get cool ass fucking set pieces to explore and like roam around, and you get more backstory on everything. Like, dude, it dragged me in so much it made me read the fucking book that was in between like the first and second game, because like I want to know what happens to the Mantis crew. So there's that. And then the other one that just stole my fucking heart, which I did not fucking expect at all, was Dredge. It is this fucking
Dredge?
Dude, Dredge just stole my heart, and I still fucking think about this game.
Hilarious is I remember when it came out, because it was all over, like, so I already knew about it. I'd been following it. It's an indie PC game I was interested in. And so I'd been following it. And then all of a sudden, all the YouTubers are talking about it. All the fucking video game press is talking about it. Dredge is this big thing that blew up all of a sudden. And I'm like, yo, Victor, you ever hear of Dredge? And you're like, nah, what is it? And then next thing I know, you're like, I finished Dredge. I loved it. It was amazing.
And it's dumb. It's just this talk. top-down game where you go catch fish, and there's like this underlying cosmic horror story to it. And like, just the way they tell the story through the environment and the weird shit that you can experience during the game, I was like, I fucking love all of this. It's fucking fantastic. Like, dude, you gotta go collect these weird things that open an ancient lighthouse that apparently stopped the Leviathan from destroying the world at some point. And you're just like, what the actual fuck? And I finished it so hard and so fast, and I just caught all the fish, which took way more time than it needed to, and I just loved every second of it. And I was just like, this game's done, and I don't know what more to do with it anymore. I flipped my shit with, like, last month. I was taking a shit, and I was going through my Google feed, and I saw they were just like, Dredge is getting DLC. And I was like, oh my fucking god, yes, there's gonna be more of it. It just came out like last week. I haven't had the time to buy it yet, and it's only like $6. Oh, dude, bucks.
This is news to me. I did not even know there was an expansion.
Yeah, and it takes you to like some Arctic waters and shit. So there's like some whole other ass stuff going on over there. So I was just like, I need to buy this, and I just need to sink my face back in the Dredge and drown in the Eldritch Abyss.
Speaking of Arctic waters, I'm sorry. Tangents. That's what this podcast is. If anybody's listening to this for the first time, I don't know why or even how you fucking got here.
Especially to this episode specifically.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking episode 215 after a 2-year hiatus. But did you hear about the fact that there were actual Nazi bases in Antarctica?
Dude, I heard about that recently. They actually existed, but I heard that they were up there. I was like, what?
So it is a completely different thing, but like, there's this dude on YouTube. I fell in love with him. His name is Windigoon. He just wears Hawaiian shirts and tells creepy stories from the internet. But what I love about this man is he does. So, okay, there are these practices on the internet, apparently on forums, that they create what are called icebergs. And what they are is collections of information or collections of things to research. Okay. And as you dig deeper, your mind will be expanded.
So it grows in size.
Exactly. So he did a conspiracy theory iceberg, and it was a 9-hour long, like, multi-part YouTube thing.
Fuck.
And I watched it when I first started this job. Ever since then, I watch his shit while I'm working from home.
Okay.
And this dude literally, so two themes. Everything in the universe is apparently related to Nazis in one way or another, like somehow. And okay. Also, there is a secret underground world inside of the Earth called Agartha. And apparently that's where the Nazis, they went to Antarctica because apparently there's an easier access point to Agartha through Antarctica. Dude. And so they have found secret Nazi bases in Antarctica, and it is believed that not Hitler, but the more like occulty focused parts of the Nazi group,
the ones that were trying to open
disappeared.
Other dimensions.
Those guys disappeared into Antarctica, it is believed. And then also, beyond all of that, it is believed that they had a fight with actual aliens that still live in Antarctica when they were establishing these bases.
You know, it's worse that you bring this up. I have just been on this fucking tear lately with my fiance. I'm just like, I'm guaranteeing you the Fourth Reich's getting built somewhere and it's just going to come out eventually. And I'm just like, there it is.
That's horrible. That's horrible. Yeah, they've got alien technology and they're all still Nazis. 90-year-old snow Nazis that are being kept alive by alien tech. No, thank you.
Yeah, I'm telling you, dude, it's coming, and I'm not looking forward to it.
So, okay, so then
your game.
What, you got three? Wait, you had three contenders then for game of the year?
Two. That was Star Wars Survivor and Dredge. Yeah, those are my two.
Oh, and then
I mean, Hogwarts Legacy was just like your honorable one mention. That I thought, but then it got pushed out by those two.
I got one last one. On that list of games, do you have anything in specific that you hated or just liked the least?
Callisto Protocol.
All right, sweet. I'm happy you
instantly
got to that.
Callisto Protocol. Like, yeah, dude. Everything else I actually had a pretty good time playing. Next one would probably be Far Cry 5.
I played that game.
Yeah, I just, dude, fuck.
I 100% forgot.
It's such a forgettable game. Like, It's mm-hmm. just one of those things where you play it and you're just like, oh, the game's over and I don't know what I just did. I played a boxing game. What's worse is
I was stoked for years about Dude, it. It should have just stayed.
We were both excited. Like, I was ecstatic. And then I played it.
It should have just stayed a fucking, what is that? What is it called?
A concept.
It was a concept specifically, though, in the fucking Player Unknown Battlefield. Battlegrounds. Oh, yeah. Player Unknown Battlegrounds is the universe that Cluster Protocol is supposedly takes place in. Because those are
the publishers, huh? I forgot about that.
Yep. Yeah, that's the publisher. Yeah. But okay, so I completely forgot that I played Cluster Protocol until I was putting this list together. So I'm going to go through my list very quickly. No particular order. I did play a lot of series, unlike you. I played Dead Space 1, 2, and 3, mm-hmm. Yakuza Kiwami 1 and 2, Subnautica, Blasphemous, Vampire, Resident Evil 4 Remake, Hogwarts Legacy, Alien Isolation, Callisto Protocol, Outer Worlds, Resident Evil 5, Trek to Yomi, and Guardians of the Galaxy. I beat Guardians of the Galaxy in like 2 weeks. Yeah.
I don't remember that. Holy shit. Okay. But yeah, dude, I know. You told me, like, what was it, just yesterday or today? You're like, I beat it. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. The other day, I just hunkered down. Well, because my wife went to sleep early and I was like, I don't want to go to sleep. And I just pounded a monster and it's 11 p.m. So I was like, I don't have shit to do. It's a Saturday. So let me just play fucking Guardians of the Galaxy. So I really liked that game. I really did. Mm-hmm. It is not at all on my list of Game of the Year contenders, but it makes me want to read Guardians comics. Like,
I can
a lot
that.
Because I really like the gang and I They're like fun, how dude. Not well, there's that. And then so like I'm a big fan of the Sandman comics from DC. I just like non-superhero comics. And Guardians of the Galaxy, yes, they technically are superheroes, but mostly they just have the abilities of the alien races that the people are. Like, I know that there's special things like Star-Lord is part fucking celestial and then also like a cyborg and a human. But like, he literally just shoots guns and has jet boots. Uh-huh. And that's it. Like, like it's kind of like when you're a kid and people are like, do you want invisibility, fire hands, or do you want to fly?
What he picked.
And that he was like, fly. And that was it. Like, that was the one. And so that's like, that's what I really like about Guardians of the Galaxy is everybody's good at the one thing. And then that's
and
about
all
it.
Like rejects also.
there is that, but like all five or six of them create one great person, but like separate, they're all like, they're okay individually. But like, I just like it. And the game never stops talking ever.
Dude, yeah.
Like, there is no dull or there's quiet
so
moment,
banter,
and there's so much lore.
It's not
very
stupid either. Like, it's funny.
No, like, it's such a, it's just a really cool world to be in. And when I finally finished the game, I found myself feeling that it didn't mechanically satisfy me, because once you hit about halfway through the game, you'll basically use the same tactic throughout the entire game, the remainder of the game.
And repeat the whole time.
Yeah, and then there's also literally no good boss fights, because the fights are designed to be great against a group of people, and boss fights are usually one guy. Mm-hmm. And so unless you're fighting a boss with ads, it's not that deep.
The magic's not there.
Yeah, it's very, Guardians of the Galaxy is a very crowd control game. And so I like it, though. So my Game of the Year choices are a little weird for me. So absolutely, number one, totally caught me off guard, didn't expect this at all. Alien Isolation is one of my games of the year.
What's strange to me is like, you started it and I was just like, damn dude, I'm gonna give you mad props if you finish this game. And you did. But the journey of you going from start to finish was like the most up and down thing that I have ever side heard, like, ever in our friendship.
So gameplay wise, Alien Isolation is probably one of the most mechanically like focused video games I've ever played, where they were like, hey, you are not a fighter. You are only an engineer. You're going to build your weapons and you are going to use only the tools that you create to protect yourself and get yourself to the end point. And it stays true to that. At a gameplay perspective, this game is, I would call it damn near Metal Gear. Like, it creates these rules of engagement and it never strays from them, like, ever.
That's and it only really wrenches up it, yeah.
Yeah, it only wrenches up the tension and difficulty. Like, dude, the only thing worse than putting me in an environment with no guns and an alien that is able to literally hunt me using artificially intelligent eyes and non-programmed routes, the only thing worse than that would be to put more of them in the environment. And they do. And it's so much worse. And so I just, you do eventually kind of see the Matrix and you accept the, if I'm going to try to go this route and I die, it's fine. I'm not going to fight tooth and nail to stay alive in this game. So that's kind of something that leaves you pretty quickly. Once you die a few times, you know how you're going to die and you know exactly where you fucked up. Because it's always when you die, it's because you deserved it in this game.
I remember the day you found that out too. You called me. You're just like, I've seen through it. I understand now. You're just like, this is how I'm going to finish it.
It stopped being horror and became a puzzle game with extreme tension, like a ton of tension, because you still have to wait. You still have to hold your breath. You still have to be careful throughout the entire game. And it holds to that. And like, it's so fucking horrible, the fact that that game is 4 times longer than it has any business being. It should have been a 5-hour super tight, super uncomfortable experience, but it is a 25-hour extremely tight, super uncomfortable experience.
And it, like, it, dude,
every time it gives you a goal and you're like, I'm gonna get off the ship, something gets in your way. Something, anything, fucking anything. You even blast, there's one alien, one fucking alien that's following you around the ship. You blast him into space and he is gone. He never comes back to the game ever. He's fucking dead. But then you find out there's an entire nest of these bitches at the bottom of the ship, and it didn't matter anyway because they were always going to leave and they were always going to get you. So there's that, and then there's also like the fucking complexity of fighting fucking there are like AI walking around the game, and some of them have like certain resistances to certain things, like some of them wear hazmat suits and are not hurt by any of your weapons, like, period. The only thing that will kill it is you have to get really close to it with a fucking bolt gun and just put a nail in its fucking head. Like, that is it. And I mean, you got to get within grabbing reach of this fucking thing.
So then you're capable of getting killed at that point.
Exactly. So like, there's always just risk and reward and constant like danger in this game. So when it comes to being a horror game that makes you uncomfortable throughout its entire runtime and really sticks to its gameplay mechanics, I've never played a game that's more perfect than it, honestly. Like, I've never played a game that sticks to its guns as perfectly as Alien Isolation. But also, it's the most frustrating thing I've ever fucking played in my life. But what's crazy is it's always still by its own rules. Like, it never breaks its own rules. Like, the alien kills you because you fucked up. Like, it hunts you and it kills you and you fucked up.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that would be my, probably, yeah, I think Alien Isolation is my game of the year. Another strong contender is going to be, yeah, it's going to be Hogwarts Legacy. I was
impressive,
absolutely blown away by Hogwarts Legacy. The only thing I really felt disappointed by was that there aren't more spells to learn, and what feels like the ceiling to the game when it comes to abilities and stuff comes about halfway through the game.
Yeah.
And after you've gone halfway through the game, you've seen everything, and it kind of drags you kicking and screaming to the end.
Because at that point, it's just like a busy fetch quest type of feel afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At like, because there's like a midway point through the story where you find out that 50% of the map is on the other side of a mountain region. And the whole game you've played, 25 hours of this game have taken place on one side. Mm-hmm. And you can go to the other side. There's quests everywhere. There's all sorts of shit to do. But by that point, you're like, I've seen everything.
You're like,
everything.
I'm done.
Like, I don't want to be here
story.
Anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then they're just like, guess what? There's tons of side quests down here that you didn't even know about yet. You're like, fuck.
But like, that game had the ability to make me, I didn't love Harry Potter. I liked Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And that game made me go, one, I only want more of these games. Like, I don't know, make another one in the future, period.
Mm-hmm.
And two, I think everything that this developer makes should be, one, should always be set in a specific universe, because the last game they made that you and I played that caught us both fucking blindsided was Mad Max. Mad Max in 2015 was the last game made by these people.
Awesome.
It is amazing. Like, it is one of the most perfect fucking games I've ever played also. And it sticks to it. It's like, this is car violence, the game. And and that's the essentially the same thing with Hogwarts Legacy. It fucking takes you to the wizarding world, and it answers all of your questions. It shows you everything you've ever wanted to see, and definitely lets you play your way. And I really enjoyed it. The combat, I had no idea the combat was going to be so fucking satisfying. Yeah, like, man, it's this rock, paper, scissors approach that you're always constantly like shuffling through, and you've always juggling these like these timers. But what my favorite thing was that it gives you like 30 spells you learn in the game,
and then you pick and your favorites out of that.
And basically it's like you can use any of these at any time, all the time. Unlike like Final Fantasy, where you're like, oh, I gotta only bring these specific spells with me. This game is like, nah, you know them all at all times, and you can play however the fuck you want. If all you want to do is grab ass, you can. All you do is grab ass. But if you're into fucking throwing, punching, setting shit on fire, we got you. And if you really want to learn the murder spells, we're not even going to stop you from doing that. That was Hogwarts Legacy caught me off guard.
Dude, because like the thing that really fucking killed it for, like, nailed it, not killed it, but like nailed it for me. There's like, you learn the dark spells that no one's supposed to like learn, the curses. And then as I was progressing through the game and I noticed the skill tree specifically for it, I was like, these motherfuckers chained together to make just this ultimate murder ability. So you cast one, and then there's another ability that causes it to spread to everybody. And then you get the grandmaster spell called Avada Kedavra, where you just murder. And the thing is, when you cast that spell to everyone who's been cursed, they all die. Oh, and dude, you're just like, the whole field's gone.
Yeah, you're like, I killed 30 people in 15 seconds with three spells. I feel like a god.
Yeah, it's so fucking good, dude.
I agree with you, but also the freedom to be like, no, I don't want to learn how to do any of these. Like, crazy. What is that? That is insane. So, strong contender again, but no, it's going to be Alien Isolation was probably my game of the year, or was my game of the year. I'm going to fucking stick to it. And the worst game I played this year at out of everything I've played, because I played some bad shit, including, again, Callisto Protocol, Alien Isolation.
But I love how it's your game of the year and worst.
No, it's not the worst. The absolute worst fucking game I played this year can't go to anything other than Vampire. V-A-M-P-Y-R, Vampire. I had tried to play this game since it came out in 2017, and I constantly told myself, nah, don't buy it on PS4. Don't buy it on PS4. Finally, I bought it on Steam when it was on some sale. And I wish so badly I hadn't, because I put 45 fucking hours into the most D-tier video game I've ever played. And I love indie games, but this game, there is one good thing about this game. Your class in this game is vampire. You are a fucking vampire, and all of your abilities are vampire abilities. And that's fucking sick. I like can't say how cool that is. But this game actually literally was so unenjoyable every moment of it. There are three enemy types throughout the entire fucking game. There are only like three enemy types. Sometimes there's some variation. And as you progress through the game, for no reason whatsoever, the enemies just get harder.
God.
And they're the same ones throughout the entire fucking game.
So they look the same, plot, but they're difficulty skills.
Yep. The plot is the most uninteresting. Like, it literally, it makes you interested, and then it says, no, we give up. Because you're a vampire.
At some point, it just comes unraveled.
Yeah, well, you find out that there's other types of vampires, and there are basically two main breeds. There's actually three. There's Vulcan, there's Ekin, and then there's fucking Nosferatu. These gross like zombie style ones. No, not Nosferatu, but like the Vulcans are like the Hulk, basically. They look like actually more like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. They look like Mr. Hyde. And they're huge and gray and strong and fucking fast, but they're very rare, and you only fight like two of them in the whole fucking game for no reason. Then you find out that you're an Ekin, which is a special type of vampire that is made by higher breed vampires. And you find out that you're actually made by a vampire demigod who is like one of the oldest vampires in the England.
Oh, cool.
And then you find out that the vampire demigod only exists because the Mother of Blood, who is an actual vampire god, exists in the area, and he's just like, he has to sometimes challenge her, so he deems you a champion and you have to fight her. Like, all this sounds interesting, but there's 45 hours of like horrible RPG to get through to get to this story. And then also 20 hours in, there's this one woman, you meet her, she tells you all about the vampire world, you don't see her for about 10 hours, and then she comes back and you're in love with her. You, the character, are in love with her for no apparent reason, and then she calls you her man all the time, and you're like, I've talked to you three times. That's
what
it.
Is happening?
Like, three fucking times. What do you mean you love me? And like, she's like, oh, love you for eternity. And then you find out that her blood has been distributed all across England to create the fucking zombie vampires you've been fighting the whole time. And she's this like fucked up gross thing, and then she just kills herself with fire.
That's,
and you're like,
terrible. Dude, because like,
what was I doing here?
I remember when I played it, there's like this time where I was just like, oh man, this is fun and all that. I was digging it. But then I was just like, why the fuck does it take over an hour to get through the conversations with all these people just to actually get anywhere in this damn story? And I was like, I haven't progressed the story in over an hour's worth of game because I've been too busy talking to everyone, and they have life stories to tell me every time I talk to them.
Every single person is in this game has also like a subset of dialogue that is only after you receive certain information from scouring the world and talking to other people about the people. Like,
dude,
it is the most
leave, come back and they're like, guess what? Another hour's worth of conversation. You're just like, what the fuck?
I literally finished talking. Like, dude, there is a side character I didn't know existed. I found him because he was inside of a home. He's inside of a home, and he's like, you're supposed to talk to him at some point. So he's got a biological dad and a guy who's been taking care of him since birth. The guy who's been taking care of him since birth fucked his mom and once, but isn't his biological dad, but raises him. You have a choice. You can kill that man because he's a dick. You can kill him, and then you'll meet the son, and then you talk to the son about his childhood with the man and how much he's been upset since his mom died. And dude, like, the whole game is this way. And there's an Asian woman I met at a cemetery who is hanging out in the cemetery because she just misses her husband or whatever.
What the fuck?
And then you convince her that it's not worth dying over. And so she just decides, okay, well, then I'm going to help people throughout the fucking bubonic plague. And then you're like, all right, well, I'll just talk to you later. And then, I don't know, at some point, I was supposed to discover some sort of note to continue talking to her, but I never found it. And that game goes on like that for, like, ever. It's like 60 hours to 100% or some shit. Oh, and like God, I said, yeah, I put, like, 45 hours into that game. So, Vampire was the worst game I played this year.
And you know what's funny?
And what's worse is like, I cling to these. Why do I finish them?
Because you just started at that point and you're just like, fuck it, I'm going to finish it. What's worse is that game came out during a time where like nothing was out and everyone hated everything that was out. So then they're just like, Vampire is actually a really solid game and good experience for what it is. But now that you play it like, what, 4 or 5 years later after it's been out that long, you're just like, no.
This is ugly and sad.
Yeah.
And boring. Want this. Dude, it was like trying to read The Pride and the Prejudice, but like with gameplay mechanics. I was like,
I can't do it.
But I still did it. I fucking finished it. Like, what's worse is I kept complaining to you about it the entire fucking time. So I just want to thank you guys for joining us on this episode of Sometimes I Hate You. We are a comedy variety podcast that comes around once every 2 weeks. It's better to just say whenever the fuck we feel like it.
More like when
this has been the first, possibly the last. Sometimes I hate video game awards. But so our winners were Victor. It was Dredge.
Yeah, I did give it to Dredge.
All right. So Dredge and fucking Alien Isolation. One game that came out like 10 years ago and the other game that came out this year. And they're both just... they're great.
Yeah, exactly.
Go play Dredge, and then when you're done with Dredge, go play Alien Isolation. I dare you.
Play them at the same time.
I fucking double dog dare you. Just go. Oh no, that's horrible. No, you know what? It's worse. You buy two Nintendo Switches,
yeah,
because they're both games that you can play on the Switch. You buy two Nintendo Switches, and you hold opposite controllers, and you try to get through both games with the opposite controllers.
Balls in your court, bitches. See how that goes.
Which means Alien Isolation is, if it's on your left hand, it's all moving, yeah, no crouching, no abilities, no nothing, no camera. Why do we always get murdered from behind? You can't turn around, bitch. and then our losers are Vampire and Callisto Protocol.
Yeah,
so
that sounds about right.
I think I feel satisfied with those. Yeah, those are good to me.
Yeah, I'll take it. I'll totally take that.
All right. If you guys enjoyed the show, there are 213 episodes to listen to. So just go back to the beginning. Start at the beginning, work your way up. And then at 212, take a 2-year break.
And then, and then come back after and listen to another 200 episodes.
And then come back
episodes.
And finish it. And then do it again. Do it again. If you got, also, if you guys would like to check out my photography, I can be found on Instagram at barelyapersonphoto. I take pictures of stuff.
And
just stuff.
And
I don't know. I would describe my art style as an observer's outside perspective of the world.
Imagine like if you took person, Silent Hill, turned it into a camera, and let it take pictures of things. That's Andy's photography.
I feel like if you were an alien, but you were still a photographer, that's what art style
Silent
is.
Hill,
that's what I try to go for.
It looks normal with a little bit of fog, and then other times it gets rusty and full of blood everywhere.
I'm like, oh man, this is bad. Yeah. I like to just kind of, what was it, just study a subject that is, especially like the mundane shit, like a fucking door. I love looking at doors.
It's my favorite thing to look at.
I fucking love doors. All right, thank you guys, and have a good night.
Good night, Dutch.
Do you work out your triceps?
Yeah, man.
Give me a good wiggle.
Well, that's just no. You know what that
that's
is?
That's just left over
from
your fat boy days.
Fat boy, exactly.
Okay.
I ain't ever
because like mine is still taut right there. No. Like I,
dude, let's never unless see. I get extremely fucking yoked, like
and fill up the skin, like
to fill
like,
up the skin. Yeah, because even yours like has
mine,
a little jiggle.
No, but mine
when I do
mine
that,
don't go
it's
nowhere.
Like, yeah, that's yeah, man. I hate it. It's my fucking curse, dude. Like I just
it's all right. I got bitch tits.
I want to. I just want to cut it open and then stitch it back tighter.
Dude, honestly, I've always hated, like, I have just puffy nipples that I've always just hated for
but
years.
But when my
so,
nips
like,
are soft, they're puffy. I do admit they do the...
Okay, so then yours do that too. Because, yeah, like, I have what's called gynecomastia. It's kind of minor, but no, like, you have a flat chest.
Yeah,
like, you don't have...
weird, dude.
I have boob meat. Like
I have boobs
boob
too.
Meat.
It's just like the muscle here pushes it off to the side, so it rounds out here.
So would you have
like
just like
filling
really,
myself yeah. up?
Would you have just like really cockeyed, like girly boobs then? If you did have boobs, is that
my nips like, are like this?
What?
Yeah.
They're your like chest this. Is so just weird shaped. You're
yeah,
just
dude,
a barrel
my nips are right here.
Yeah, but like your sternum is so fucking
dude,
wide.
This is all sternum, yeah. My
I
tits
know.
Start to like here.
My sternum is like an inch wide. Yours is like 4.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
It's fucking crazy, man. Like,
all
right. Let me see. My ribs, yeah, they end like right here.
Yeah, I that's crazy. Them. Mine is. That is an inch.
Yeah, no.
That's a fucking inch.
I got a fucking just massive sternum, bro.
All right. Yeah. I think that's what maybe accounts for your height. You have like a tall midsection.
That's dude. Nah, honestly,
you got long legs too, but I think you might have a tall midsection.
No, when I look at my body, like my torso in the mirror, it just looks so long. Like it's so strange.
Just normal medium length like, legs, but you got a tall torso.
No, because my legs are long too. It's just like that's my problem too. When I wear short like shirts, they look short because my torso is so long. And I'm like, they're shirts mm-hmm. that fit me. It's just like they're just too short. Yeah, no, because
your shirts go like exactly to like to my belt height.
Yeah, exactly.
And my, like if I wear a shirt like that, I feel like my shirt's way too short. Like I need my shirt to usually be around like dick height.
Yeah, dude, I just had to get used to it because otherwise I got to buy a fucking big and tall shirts and those automatically tack another $20 onto their price tag. Yeah, and
they also don't make like spawn shirts. Yeah, exactly.
You want just a plain black t-shirt because that's all you're getting. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, you're getting a Gildian shirt and that's it.
Yeah, it's fucking stupid. We got to clap.
You ready for this?
Make it clap.